Good evening. Yeah, most of you know that I flew helicopters and airplanes over a span of 40 years. And throughout that period in my life, I came across one constant theme. Every aircraft came with a manual that told me when to do what and how to do it. It was especially important to follow those instructions carefully in order to avoid a mishap. I often thought, wouldn't it be nice if life came with a manual that told me when to do what and how to do it? Well, then I discovered that it does. All I needed to do was to be willing to read, listen, study, and search for the truth that is in the Bible. And we are currently engaged in, even consumed by, some of the most unsettling times that I have witnessed in my 71 years. I find that I worry. I criticize others, especially when it seems like they're working against me. I'm experiencing major health issues. So sometimes I feel discouraged. And in my weakened state, I sometimes feel tempted. Does anybody else feel this way? What's a Christian to do? How are we to keep from becoming consumed by these issues of life? Some more questions. When Jesus was confronted with the issues of life, what did he do? How did he do it? He referred to Scripture. So we should also do as we work to become more like him. As Christians, we need to remember passages like 1 John 2, verse 6. He who says he abides in Christ ought himself also to walk just as he walked. How did he walk? Well, let's take Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11 as one example. If you recall in chapter 3 of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus was baptized by John, and when he came up from the water, the Spirit of God descended upon him, and a voice from heaven declared him to be the Son of God. The Spirit of God then led Jesus into the wilderness, where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Can you imagine how hungry he must have been? 40 days and 40 nights? Yeah, he was hungry, and it was a while. It was while he was in this weakened state that the devil came to him. Now, you don't expect the devil to come at us when we're feeling our strongest, do you? Take a lesson from that. The devil's first temptation of Jesus is in chapter 4, verse 3, where he says, if you are the Son of God, if you're hungry, command that these stones become bread. Now, the father of lies tempted Jesus to satisfy his own hunger by using his divine power. Instead, Jesus turned to Scripture and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Well, that didn't work for the devil, so the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the high pinnacle of the temple, and tempted Jesus to throw himself down, claiming that Scripture says that the angels will protect him from injury in the fall. In verse 7, Jesus again quotes from Scripture, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Foiled once again, we read in verse 8, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Satan promised him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And Jesus shut him down with Scripture once again, saying in verse 10, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. And the devil left him. You know, Jesus could do these things because he was knowledgeable in Scripture, having studied it from his childhood. And whether you've been learning Scripture from your childhood or you're a late bloomer, we all need to do the same as Jesus did in order to know when to turn for what? The comfort and support that Scripture provides. How? By reading the Bible when we're confronted with the issues of life. Let's look at some examples. We all worry, don't we? Well, when you worry, turn to 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 8. And humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, just like he did when Jesus, when he was weak with hunger in the wilderness. The lesson in this passage is that if we submit ourselves humbly to God, he will exalt us in the end as he lifts us up to be with him in heaven. And think of all your cares as being wrapped around you and worn as a coat. The more cares you have wrapped around, the more cares you hold on to, the heavier your coat becomes, and the more its burden weighs you down. Peter's lesson for us is to take off that heavy coat and throw it over God's incredibly, infinitely stronger shoulders. Let him bear your burdens as you experience the release of your cares, knowing how much he loves you and what he has prepared for you. When you feel someone is against you, turn to Hebrews 13:6 and remember to boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" And when you find yourselves tempted to criticize others, read 1 Corinthians again, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 7. And remember that if we have not love, we are nothing. Verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. And love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Love endures all things. When you're physically sick, it can be very challenging to remember to pick up the Bible and seek encouragement. After all, you feel lousy. Perhaps nothing tastes good, nothing sounds good, nothing feels good. You may feel miserable just trying to catch a normal breath or work through some pain that medicine cannot seem to overcome. That's when it's important to read 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18, and be encouraged by the temporary nature of today's pain and discomfort versus the eternal joy of one day being in heaven with Jesus and our Creator. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward person is perishing, yet the inward person is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, maybe hard to think of it that way sometimes, but for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Sure, it's easy to become discouraged if we let our burdens grow unchecked. So, when you're discouraged, open up your Bible to Psalm 27 or Psalm 31 and heed the final verse in each in particular. Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Waiting on the Lord is not a passive act. It means to prepare, to hope, to look for, and to rely on the Lord. Psalm 31:24 has a similar message. It says to be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. See, as we wait on the Lord and hope on the Lord, he shall strengthen our heart. That's our inner person, our mind, and our soul. Now, these are all reasons why it's so important to become familiar with and stay familiar with the Bible, his word. That way, when you are tempted, you may wish to read 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 13, and be reminded about how many of the first of God's people were tempted and sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play, in spite of the fact that they were surrounded by God's glory, the smoke by day and the fire by night, in spite of the fact that they personally experienced the miracles of the Red Sea being swept aside so they could escape the bondage of Pharaoh, in spite of the fact that God provided, God fed them with manna from heaven and led them to a land of milk and honey. I said earlier that you need to hear and believe God's word. The Bible is God's inspired word with practical application to our lives, right when we need it, telling us what to do and how to do it. And what we do with it is up to each one of us. How we use it reflects on our faith that God will deliver on his promise to us, just like he delivered on his promise to mankind, sending his son to die on the cross for our sins. When you're a Christian, and every Sunday when you partake of the Lord's Supper, think of the prophecy of Christ on the cross in Isaiah 53, especially verse 3, which reads, "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him." So remember, do not hide your face from Jesus. Do not despise him. Do not fail to esteem him. Jesus calls on us to repent of our sins and confess him before men, acknowledging that he is the Son of God who was sent to mankind to show us a better path, a path that leads to salvation, redemption, and eternity with him in heaven. Obeying the gospel, obeying God's word, means to be baptized, putting on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Christ promises that if we are faithful unto death, we will learn to grow as a Christian in his church, the pathway to heaven. Remember, if you're flying airplanes, it's important to follow those instructions carefully in order to avoid a mishap. The same is true for becoming and remaining a faithful Christian. Learn the when, what, and how of the Bible. In a moment, you will see instructions about how to contact us to learn when to do what and how to do it. Even in these uncertain times, we will find the means to ensure that you can safely obey God's plan for your salvation. Whether you live nearby us or we can help through a congregation closer to you. If you desire to study God's word further with us and to join us as we seek his path together to heaven by obeying the gospel, or if you've strayed off his path and need help returning to the way, please follow the instructions on your screen and make your needs known to us while we sing this song.